With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
And we're back here on The V-Show on ESPN 680, 105.7. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to Billy O'Dell for ducking out of school for just a lunch break to come do that read. 10-year-old Billy back in the classroom. And very pleased to have him join us today. What were we going to talk about?
That was
about
a fun sports center, too.
You enjoyed that?
Yeah, it was like playing catch. Threw it to you. You threw it back to me.
Good. Very good. Very nice. I probably should have done this before.
But you seem a little perturbed.
I am. I'm all over the map here. I got too many things on my mind. Louisville and Notre Dame are going to be playing feetball, and ESPN Louisville will have Labor Day coverage of Notre Dame and UofL presented by Window World. Simply the best for less, presented by the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to get a ride home, even if you're just a little impaired. Drive home or get pulled over. Also a reminder that you can play in, we were talking about fantasy football at the beginning of the show. There's a great fantasy opportunity for you right now. It's the biggest and richest fantasy season-long tournament ever, and it's from our friends at Draft and FanDuel. If you love fantasy football, and we know you do, then you need to enter the $3.5 million Best Ball Championship on Draft. That's right, $3.5 million in real money. It's freaking huge. And how does it work? It's this. You draft your team in a snake draft, just like you would with your local guys, even if you get picks 9 and 10. Doesn't matter. You draft and you take your team. There's no salary cap. But the thing about that's different, which makes it fun for me, is it's one of those set it and forget it leagues. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. You don't even have to set your lineup. Your best players will automatically get started, and that means you'll get the best score every week guaranteed. So they play the games, they go through your roster, they figure out what your best score would be, and boom, you got it. That's what you've got. So no salary caps, no better place to play than on Draft, which is the highest rated fantasy app. Hey, join a draft. Who knows? You can be a millionaire just a couple of months later. It doesn't get any easier than that. And we'll let you play for free for a limited time. You can get a free entry into the Best Ball Championship when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code VSHOW. That's right, a free shot at $1 million just by using my promo code VSHOW when you make your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to draft.com and come play for free with the promo code VSHOW. Speaking of betting, just not for nothing, Louisville's 500-1. To be the ACC football champion. Maybe put $10 on that and make yourself $5,000.
Why not?
Because I don't think they have too much of a chance to win it. But you never know. There have been shocking things that go on in the past. Usually shocking things are like one game thing. What's the most shocking? You know, there's not as big a following of it. Maybe the most shocking one season long was when Leicester, is that how you say it? I think that's how you say it.
Oh, yeah. That
Leicester City won the Premier League after being, I guess, fighting off to keep from being relegated for years. All of a sudden, they came out of nowhere and won the championship. And I don't know what the odds were in the preseason there, but I don't know what the biggest season-long upset would be. That certainly has to be at the top of the list, I would think.
Season-long.
I mean, you go by your own experience, but the 1969 Mets won the World Series. This was a team that was the first year that baseball went to two divisions. There were only two divisions of six teams each. Before that, it was one league of 10. Each league had 10 teams, the American League and the National League. The Mets were founded in 1962. I believe there was only one year that they did not finish dead last. They came in ninth, and they had never won. I think 75 games. And all of a sudden in 1969, they come out of nowhere and they win the whole thing. That had to be a bit of a shock. Again, you know, single game upsets, single event upsets, you know, Buster Douglas and, you know, the Jets over the Colts when they were 18-point underdogs the other night when Justin Verlander got beat and the Tigers were, you know, minus whatever it was, 550, which for baseballs are ridiculously short odds. You know, you look at that, and those are single. But season-long, trying to think of any others that pop to mind. That were teams that just you didn't think much about them in the preseason, and then they came out and.
Do they have to win the national championship?
Well, yeah, you know, win the championship. Well, that's the whole point. Yes, it's you know you win.
What about?
If you want to use Final Four teams like Loyola of Chicago,
that's what I'm saying. Right. Or a team that won like the AFC
couldn't
finish it.
College basketball is the landscape is littered with teams that have done that. Penn made the Final Four in the late 70s, and you know George Mason. That happens periodically. Nobody wins the whole damn thing, but that's why I said to win the whole thing is the one that really gets your attention. If they'd won the whole thing, they came darn close,
right.
But if they'd been able to win the whole thing, then you got a different discussion.
But this isn't to win. This is just to win the ACC.
Yeah, well, right? Win your league championship, yes.
Okay, yeah, but whenever I hear that, I win the whole thing, I think, you know, you win the championship.
St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup after a season after they were dead last.
That's a decent one. There have been some decent ones in hockey. But the makeup of hockey makes it, I don't want to say it's easier, but... It's more ripe for upsets.
Leicester City, thank you, listeners. The preseason odds for Leicester City were 5,000 to 1. Even as late as Christmas, despite the fact they were in first place in the league, you still could have got 1,250 to 1. Boy, oh boy! I'm sorry I didn't jump on that. Teams that far into the season in first place, they got a chance. You certainly got to say you got a chance. That's unbelievable. People still didn't take them very seriously. But a guy said you have to understand, them winning the league championship is the equivalent of the Bats winning the World Series.
That's fair. Yeah.
Because the Bats were a triple A, and they were
right.
A team that, you know, was... I wonder when the last year they were relegated was. How long had they been back in the Premier League? I don't know that. I should know that, but I don't. But it's a great story, though. It's a great story. 91 Braves came out of nowhere, have to be considered. They didn't win the World Series, though, in 91. They made the World Series. I guess you could say that. They were the National League champions, the same way Louisville would have to be.
That's kind of what I was getting at. Like, what teams had tremendous runs but just didn't win the big one, but they still might have won their conference. They might have, won their division. They might have something spectacular they did.
I think it's got to involve a championship, and the difference is you can maybe make a case for teams that are at likely the non-major level if they were picked way down, but most of us don't follow it that closely. But most of us follow the Power Five leagues and stuff like that. Why are you not wearing the headsets again? Why do you have the one with the microphone?
Because two things. One, the headsets, I think, are in my car.
No, they're not. They were in my mailbox.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. I lent them to Perrin, and Perrin said he would put them in there. And Perrin, if you're listening, your charger is in your mailbox.
Not the car. That would never fit.
No, that would... Well, if it was a little Matchbox car, or Hot Wheels, maybe. Didn't we have that debate? There a debate
about
a week ago?
The difference between Matchbox cars and
Or just
Hot
which
Wheels
one
cars?
Was better? Or something, like we were talking about the price point on it or something, because we said something in passing, and then someone... said, come on,
I believe Matchbox cars are much more expensive than...
Well, I think they're a little bit more...
They're a little bit better quality.
Yeah, they're like full-on die-cast metal and everything like that. Not that Hot Wheels are chintzy by any stretch, but...
No, we certainly wouldn't want to suggest that.
No, not at all. But, so twofold. One, I didn't know where they were. And the other main reason is they're really good, but they're really good for...
Not listening.
No, they're really good as long as I don't have to plug them into a, you know, little gold auxiliary jack. Because for whatever reason, I think the knockoff jacks I got, I can't put the whole thing in without it sounding weird. It's you got to tweak with it and you get kind of audio that can come and go. This is a headset. It was the retired headset from the Comrex. When Drew saw me wearing it, he almost threw a toaster at me. He got really mad because he was like, "This is what happened to the old ones." And I was like, "Totally, totally get that, boss." But this is the one that was retired, put out to pasture. And he was like, "Oh, okay, that's fine." So I'm basically using a retired remote headset, and it sounds absolutely fantastic with this board.
Why did we get rid of it? The microphone doesn't work?
Yeah, it's the microphone. I think the microphone gets a little weird and wobbly and everything.
It's called Louisville Men's Clinic.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
But. Good one from a listener here. Great point. Even though the Portland Trailblazers were only founded in 1970, in 1977, they won the NBA championship when they had never before qualified for the NBA playoffs. That's pretty impressive. Your first go-around, you win the whole damn thing. That's a great point.
And that's pretty good. The Vegas Golden Knights had to have some crazy odds.
I'm sure they did. They didn't win the whole thing, though.
No.
The Blazers are doing something that their fans are jazzed up about, as no pun intended with Utah, as well they should be. This is the 50th anniversary of that championship team. No, that's wrong. That's very wrong. It's the 50th anniversary of basketball. I was going to say, the championship was in 77, so 50 years would be 2027, so that's not right. It's the 50th year of the franchise, and that's pretty cool. And so what they're going to do is they are going to wear throwback jerseys. If you guys remember, the people of a certain demographic, the Blazers red jersey that had Blazers on the left part of the jersey, the right part of the jersey, rather, going up and down. It's a really cool old school jersey. They're going to wear those for five games this season. And obviously, they're going to be available. It's another merchandising opportunity. But their fans are going nuts, saying, I've been waiting for this forever. And that's a good point. Why wouldn't you celebrate your one championship? So they evidently wore that for the championship. And then they switched to a design that resembles its current uniform far more closely right after the championship in 77. So they switched right out, and that'll teach them. They should have stayed with it. There's that guy at ESPN who's got the great column about uniforms.
That guy is pretty
He's come on our show. He's a very entertaining guy. And speaking of that, by the way, I'm somebody who believes baseball is wise to be proactive, but I can't imagine anybody liked the jerseys for the Players' Weekend. I mean, I can't. I love a young listener to tell me because the reason they were not popular. Because the reason I bring it up is that you're saying to yourself, let me be honest. I'm not their demographic. I'm not a 32-year-old man, so maybe they would love this. I don't know. But I didn't hear anybody defend it. It was impossible to see the numbers and names. The whole fun of the thing is to see these goofy nicknames they came up with. That was kind of a young thing that was cool. I liked it. And, you know, as long as that somebody's not putting something, and they wouldn't let them put vulgarity or anything on there. So they were just putting things up that they were having fun with. But everybody was dressed in black and white. The pitcher wore a black hat. That was the way to he had like a goalie. Like, we couldn't tell he was going to be the pitcher. He's standing on the mound throwing it at the batter. I'm fairly sure I could identify the guy.
The hell is this second baseman doing, Stripes?
And you couldn't see any of the names. It was really, really not popular. So I didn't understand that at all, to be honest with you. I love trying to be proactive. I love it's 162 games. Knock yourself out. Do something, you know, innovative. But my goodness, that missed the mark terribly. It really did. Let's see. UniWatch. That's not the one on ESPN, though, is it? I don't think so. There's a whole website called UniWatch, but there's a guy at ESPN. Here he is, Paul Lucas. That's the guy. Yeah, no, it is. UniWatch. That's his website. He's a staff writer at SI.com now. He used to work for ESPN. He now works at, I know you've said on this website, UniWatch. All right, there we go. I wanted to make sure he's the guy that was. I had the right guy. Very cool. If you haven't, it would be well worth a follow on Twitter. He's under at UniWatch, UniWatch. You know, the kind of stuff that we find entertaining on the show, he specializes in. It's really, really fun. He's got a history of the modern curling stone. How the curling stone came into being.
That's awesome. I've often wondered that. I mean,
they're not cheap.
No,
very interesting.
They're like perfectly smooth and everything like that. I genuinely like hearing about, you know, how they make the balls and the pucks and everything like that. Like, that stuff's always really exciting to me.
That could be part of our show. I told you. How do they do it? That's the show. I'm telling you. We should do that show. We need to go find somebody who wants to get into TV production. That's a quality show.
Whoa.
How do they do it?
We don't want to be doing peyote or whatever. wherever.
Good Lord, you remember what it is? And you just mess with me?
No, like I really can't.
Actually. Payola.
Payola. All right.
Isn't peyote like a drug, a hallucinogenic drug?
I think so. We probably shouldn't do that one either, but yeah.
So that point's well taken, but people might ask, why would you consider that? Paul sent this out earlier today. NFL visor tabs in past years have either been left blank or have had team logos. Thanks to a new marketing deal, the tabs will now carry the Oakley logo. I don't see it in this picture. Where's the Oakley logo?
So like in the corner, maybe? Jamie had, I remember he had Oakley sunglasses.
I don't see
that. Was like a birthday present for him, like in high school.
This guy pays attention to the most subtle things.
Maybe it was the Mets logo that was in the corner. I don't remember.
The comparison of the Panthers pants. The Carolina Panthers showing elimination of the hip logo and change to the bottom end of striping. Man, this guy is paying attention.
What, UniWatch guy?
Oh, my God.
There was a guy, and I've told you about him before. His name, he's got a website, I think it's called like hockeybydesign.com or whatever. And he broke down at the time, I want to say it was like 2013, 2014 or something. He broke down all the logos in the league. And some of them, I think he did some special ones for like alternate jerseys and whatnot. But he went down the jerseys and the logos and broke down who had the best, who had the worst. And here's why. And then oftentimes he would make... This was the part I really liked about him, was it's easy for you to point and be like, oh, that sucked. Like, that jersey, that logo looks terrible. Okay, well, then can you make one better? And be like, yeah, actually, here. Like, instead of having, like, you know, the Islanders Gorton Fish guy, instead of him having, like, a mustache, he was like, I'll give him a beard. Or just something, like, along those lines. Like, you know, maybe edge, you know, the color, make it a thicker line, or mm-hmm. make it a thinner line, or make it, you know, a completely different color, a different shade of red or something. And he would then put the old logo and the new one, and you'd be like, oh, wow, that is better. That does pop a little bit more. Look at that.
He's got pictures of the Jets' new jerseys this year, and I haven't seen them play a preseason game.
They look all right. They were much maligned over the
offseason. Okay, I looked at them. I don't disapprove. They're all right.
I thought they looked like a really cool Arena League jersey, but there's something about them that just, man.
Well, you can't do it over the radio. There's a stripe that comes across horizontally by the shoulder pad, a little bit of an angle, not completely horizontal. It goes from like the shoulder to just before the breastplate, and it's not very NFL looking, but that's fine. The NFL referees are even in this article. They're going to wear centennial logos on their caps, but their seeing eye dogs are going to use the regular league logo. Hey, that's a joke. The shirts are going to have the regular league logo over their breast pocket. Dwayne Haskins is the first Washington player to wear number 7 since Joe Theismann in 1985. Theismann gave him his blessing. Let's see. Very, very interesting stuff here. What is this now? Oh, yeah. Did you see this picture of Francisco Cervelli? Did you see his slide in the second base? If you're a youth coach, do not show this to your team. It may be the worst sliding technique I've ever seen. How he didn't break multiple bones.
Oh, why did he?
I'll show it to you. He just is running from first to second. And you know, like when if you ever see the pictures of Pete Rose doing the head first slide, he basically threw himself
five,
6 feet off the ground and landed on his belly. Well, Cervelli is sliding on his ass. A traditional slide, and he does the same thing. He jumps up in the air, his lead foot hits the base at about 60 miles an hour, and then his right foot is tucked underneath him. He should not be able to walk, let alone play baseball again. I'm showing it to you, and now watch you cringe. Watch this.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Cervelli, what is you doing, baby?
Chipper Jones sent a tweet out about that. Like,
oh, my God. It looks like he's trying to drop
kick. Trying to hurt himself. That's what it says. It looked like he was trying to land a karate kick on the base.
It looked like a wrestling move.
Wow. So it's he's a guy that's hurt a lot. Now we can understand why. Anyway, it's UniWatch. It's a pretty interesting website. Somebody said that. I guess it was one of the broadcasters. It was Keith Hernandez, I think, said that the MLB uniforms look like Spy versus Spy from Mad Magazine. That was pretty funny.
That's pretty accurate, and they did.
Yeah. This one says, oh, you like this, Nick. The players' weekend jerseys were horrid. They all look like a Snake Eyes versus Storm Shadow episode of G.I. Joe.
Also accurate. Also very, very accurate. And solid Snake Eyes versus Storm Shadow reference.
You knew you'd like a Joe reference.
It's one of the main reasons I think G.I. Joe was so damn cool.
Why?
It had that extra element.
What extra element?
That like each team had a ninja. So it was almost like an extra... like trump card.
Each team?
Yeah, the good guys, G.I. Joe, had Snake Eyes.
Yeah.
The bad guys, Cobra, had Storm Shadow. Well, Storm Shadow went back and forth.
What do you mean? He was a heel and a face?
He was, yeah, he kind of went back and forth. He had some, like, there's a lot of storylines where he was misguided and then got brought back over and then was kind of brought back over to the Cobra side just because he wanted vengeance. And then, yeah, he's a very complicated young ninja. He really is.
Okay, take your word for it. This was in the era of the little G.I. Joes, not the big
ones. No. Yeah, this was...
The little ones?
Yeah, this was the little ones. A real American hero, G.I. Joes.
The big ones are...
They made some of those guys big ones rock. Too.
The little ones,
Three and three quarters inch. Three and three quarters inch.
The big ones were awesome.
12 inch.
That's going to make its way into the mixtape. We'll take a break, come back. Before we do that, though, let me tell you about my friends at Genesis Diamonds. They are absolutely doing some great things, and unfortunately, I think I have the wrong copy for them. But no, I don't. Here we go.
While you're looking.
No, I got it. Found it right here. Boom, right there.
I was going to see what you wanted to do on the other side of this break.
Did you know that if you buy a diamond at Genesis Diamonds today, and then you want to trade it up for a bigger one in a year or two, they'll give you 100% of what you paid for the first diamond, plus an extra 10% toward the new diamond. So if you're getting 110% of your original purchase price to go towards the new diamond. Example, you buy a $5,000 diamond now, bring it back in a few years. You find a $7,000 diamond you'd like to get. Genesis will give you $5,500 for your original diamond, what you paid plus 10%. So you only pay the difference in cash for the new one. In this example, you'd only pay $1,500 more. It's almost like an investment. When you can get a diamond and then down the road, if you want to upgrade just to get a different style, you can do it. It's an amazing policy. It really shows how Genesis stands behind what they sell. They don't inflate their prices artificially like other stores do. They don't play the retail pricing games of any kind. They work with you no matter what your budget because they want to be your customer for life. Remember, their sales staff is non-commissioned. They're not going to get any more money by getting you to spend more money than you went in there budgeted for. They just want to get you the best piece of jewelry within your budget that makes you happy and makes you a customer that wants to return. And that's what they've done for all of us. We go there all the time for our jewelry needs. Never been disappointed. So if you're getting engaged or celebrating a big anniversary or any occasion, go see my friends at Genesis. Say hello to Wendy for us. Let them take care of you. It's the best selection, best prices, best warranties. Non-commissioned salespeople. It's just a great place and a safe place to shop for jewelry. Genesis Diamonds, official jeweler of the Louisville Cardinals and the Kentucky Wildcats, Shelbyville Road Plaza next to Trader Joe's. Now, what were you asking me?
I want to see what you want to do on the other side of this break. We got a ton of sound.
All right, so then we'll do the sound.
Well, I don't know, but what sound do you want? Do you want to pick a coach? Chris Mack?
Why do we have sound from him? Who was he with?
He was on yesterday with The Drive with Mark Ennis and Mark Blankenbaker. The Marks. Mark and Mark. Mark and other Mark and the Funky Bunch.
We'll go back and forth. I'll look at the sheet and we'll figure it out. We don't have to be exclusive. It's not like we're dating. We can just talk, listen to both of them, right?
You're going to listen to all three coaches?
Not at once. That would be a cluster mess. We just want to listen to them individually. Like, we'll listen to one. Like, here's how it'll work. I'll say, here's sound from, and then you fill in one coach's name, then you play sound from him, and then we yabber incoherently about that, and then we say, now here's another coach, different name, and then you play that sound, and then we yabber incoherently about that, and then maybe if there's time, we say, and here's a third coach, and then we play that, and then by then the text will be coming in, and then we can yabber incoherently about them. And people say, it's just a typical V show. Plan, right?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll do it.
Locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
All right, we can't listen to all these cuts, so I'm telling Nick, while I'm telling you, we'll kind of give them by theme. And we'll start with Scott Satterfield, who was talking a little bit about the most sexy position on the field, the quarterback position. So you all know this, that Juwan Pass is going to start. And he talked about, these are the cuts I want to use, Nick. We'll use cut 3. That'll be the one that starts. And then we'll use cut 12 on Juwan's pass accuracy. And then we'll go to 13, where he talks about his strengths and weaknesses. And then we'll go from there. And we'll talk a little bit about how his demeanor is on the sideline. We'll go to 15 and 16. So if you're scoring at home, this will be 3, 12, 13, 15, and 16. Got it? All right, let's start with 3. Here he is, stating the obvious about Malik's been out and Pass is going to be the starter.
With the time that he's missed, Malik, you know, Juwan will start for us. And, you know, a lot of it's going to depend on how he does over the next couple of days. And but he's looking good. I mean, he's throwing the ball. He's doing a lot of things, you know, which with Malik, his strength is running. And so you want to be able to do that at 100%. And so we'll know more, a lot more by the end of the week with Malik as well. If not, he'll be there. Evan's gotten a ton of reps. That's what we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. The benefit of this thing for Evan is that he gets thrown in the fire throughout practice. And, you know, for a true freshman, that's always difficult. And he's done a great job with that, learning our offense and making all the reads and that type of thing. But, you know, he obviously never played in a game. But he obviously will be there and be available.
That answer sums up the season. A little bit of what you know with a whole lot more that you don't know. I mean, we know Malik's a good runner. We know Juwan is a more traditional passer. We don't know how effective either are going to be. The freshman, we don't know what he brings to the table. We've never seen him play. So it's going to be a year of, as I've said, the single most important thing, figuring out who can play for Coach Satterfield in the manner in which he plays. The style that he wants to play, who buys into the work ethic he wants, all of those things. And it doesn't mean that you write off wins and losses. I know fans don't want to hear that, but it certainly is one that you look at and say that, I hate to say it, is the way to build a house with lots of good foundation. And foundation starts from changing the culture. And that's why he's talking about things like that. If you were with us earlier, you know, Tim Sullivan wrote about it. Satterfield showed his team that great play by the defensive lineman at Hawaii who missed the initial tackle on the quarterback and then chased Tate 40 yards and caught him from behind a yard out of the end zone and literally saved the game for his team. That's the kind of mindset he's trying to instill. And that's why I'm interested to see this year. I really am. You know, there's certainly, you have a lot more anticipation when you say, boy, the publications say we are one of the favorites in the league, or we're projected to be a real strong bowl team. They're not saying that about this team. I get that. But it's going to be a very entertaining thing to me. If you are like me, you want to see how this man is going to build the program, because I think he's going to take a lot of similarities from how he built the program at App State. Or kept it going at App State, and how they built it there. Well, actually, I know how he built it, because they weren't very good when he first started there. And I think that's going to be a telling thing. So it's very interesting. That certainly includes the quarterback position. All right, to that point, he talked about the accuracy of Puma Pass. And it's, go ahead, let's just let this play out.
He's been really good. I think he's had some days, a lot of days, where he's, and we chart every pass in practice, where he's above 74, 73%. Right around, hovering in the 70s, which is outstanding. You know, he's had some days where he's down around 50%. You know, we'd like for him to be in the at least 60, I think, in order to give us a chance to win. You know, we're going to take some shots down the field. So a lot of times, you know, when you're taking shots, you're not going to complete a big majority of those, but you are stretching the defense out. You're making them, hey, you better back up, you know, those type of things. But we got to be able to hit the intermediate short passes. We got to be a very high percentage in those. And he's done a good job with that. And I think, you know, there's times, man, he looks unbelievable, like really, really good. I mean, he's you know, big, tall, strong quarterback. When he stands in there and really follows through, I mean, he looks like you're supposed to look. There's times when his footwork's off and the ball sails on him. We got it, but he's gotten a lot better with that. I think he got an opportunity to really have a good season and play well.
Interesting. He's going to take shots down the field. He told you that. He said, you know, you've got to do that, and I agree. You can't just play everything underneath. You're going to wind up playing against seemingly 20 defenders within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. You're not going to be able to do anything. You got to spread the defense. That's true in basketball. It's true in football. And so I liked him talking about that, and that's something they've got to work on. But the big thing is, when they do that, even if they're not – tremendously accurate there, although they hope they'll hit some of those. He's going to have to take advantage of when they stretch the defense and take those shorter intermediate routes, and that's going to be the bottom line. He talked a little bit more about that on Puma's strengths and weaknesses. Here's the coach again.
I think the strength probably, and I don't know how much they tried to run him in the past, but he's every time we've scrimmaged the defense, he's had some big runs, like really big runs, and has scored on the run most scrimmages. And so I think that's an added dimension that he's got to his game now, that he's embraced, you know, as before maybe felt like more I have a pocket, you know, more of a quarterback than I'm going to sit in the pocket. But he's been able to expand our running game with the Q runs. I think that helps. You know, he's got a good arm. You know, the thing that that he's worked on, I think, in the offseason is the deep ball, to where he's given those guys an opportunity to make plays down the field. And that'll be huge because they'll be – I mean, every game we're going to play, there's going to be guys running free in the back end. We got to be able to hit them. Every game we'll have it, 100%. He's just got to be able to hit them, you know, because we talk about a guy running free and I overthrow him, we might as well just hand the ball off, right? I mean, that's, you know, that's a missed opportunity. So you got to drop the ball on there, give those guys a chance to make plays, and we got guys that can make plays.
Interesting. I mean, he's confident they're going to have guys running free. He did talk elsewhere in the press conference about the strength of his receivers, and so he's going to expect to have some guys free, and they got to drop a few of those in. But going to be asking a lot of Puma. And I think there's no question, and he alluded to it earlier, this is a kid who suffered from a lack of confidence after what transpired last year. So I think you're looking at, you know, it would be very good for him to get some success early. Notre Dame may not be the best place to do it, but certainly some of the other non-conference games early, I think that would be a really, though. That's why I find, you know, again, it's selfish of me, but that's why the season's interesting to me. There's some years where you know your team is good, and they're playing a bunch of schools early that, you know, they should really overwhelm. And it's fun if you want to go and you get to see guys, maybe you see some backups, but there's no real much of interest there because if they wallop them like you expect they will, you don't learn anything about that. And, you know, so, but this team, even against, you know, the non-conference early games that they really have to win to have any kind of success this year, you're going to find out a lot. First of all, you can't take anything for granted. And secondly, we want to find out, are they going to avoid those stupid dead ball penalties, too many men on the field, that kind of stuff? Is the quarterback going to look like he's got some of his confidence back? Is the defense going to be remotely better than last year's train wreck of a defense? I mean, that to me may be the biggest story of all. So all those things you'll get some answers on. You won't completely be able to dismiss it just because, well, it's not ACC caliber competition. Well, you know, if you get 13 guys on the field against any level of competition, that's a problem. So those are the kinds of things I think you'll be able to get some gauge on in the early part of the season. And that's why I think those are telling. You want to have a quick cut from Mr. Stupelville? Mr. Stoops here. This is... Where do you want to go? You want to go to know everybody? What the hell? We're doing a quarterback theme. Go to cut number four, and he talks about Terry. And let's just see what he's got to say about his quarterback. Here is the coach of Kentucky and talking about his quarterback.
I've been very proud of him and the work that he's put in. You know, he's worked in all areas, and he'll have an opportunity to go out there and show that Saturday. But he can't do too much either. He's got to just play within himself. We got a lot of other people around him, and that's always going to be the case, you know. So, you know, the strength of our team is always going to be the team. You heard me say that a year ago. It's not just a fancy cliche. It's the truth. You know, you got to have a good team. You know, you're going to win as a team, and you're going to lose as individuals. You know, so, you know, if we go out and play as individuals, we're going to lose, and that'll always be the case. This is the ultimate team sport here. We got to have all guys on the same page all the time, or you're not going to be successful.
I found that interesting because not only is that a cool thing for coaches to say, I mean, that's a great message. You always want to tell your team, you know, we have to be together. You know, you're playing for the guy next to you on either side of you, all those things, the name on the front as opposed to the name on the back. But in point of fact, this year, that is a theme for Kentucky that I think is a a very valid one, because they have been trying to sell, and I'm not saying they're lying or anything. I'm just saying the message is, last year, you're not going to expect to get 10 wins this year or every year, but it was a statement of a breakthrough of the status of the program, where year in and year out, you can expect to have winning teams and bowl teams, and maybe a year like this, after a 10-win season, put an 8-win season up on the board. If that's the case, it's definitely going to be a team agenda, because your two stars are both gone, one on the offensive side, one on the defensive side. So you've got to be looking at this as, all right, well, do we have enough, quote-unquote, from a team standpoint, to sustain this going forward? And so that's going to be interesting, because if they do, then I think they've really – that's why I think this season, in some ways, even if they get 8 wins, could be more significant than – or certainly as significant as the 10-win season from a year ago. I really do believe that, because I think it might very well, you know, speak to whether that message is true, resonating with their own players and with the fans, that they are, you know, they are definitely in a different plane than they were before. Osaka, the Japanese player who was down in the first set on the women's side, came back and won the first set. She just had a match point, lost it, so now they're at deuce in the second set. She's ahead 6-5, serving for the match, but she's not playing her sharpest. She's got quite a match on her hands with Blinkova. That sounds like you know, maybe like the I Dream of Genie of Russian television, you know. Well, Blinkova. Ding.
Blink.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm thinking like you blink and it's over.
In a blink. Oh, Blinkova. Blinkova with a break point. I'm telling you, she's not going away easily. Got to give this girl credit. She's put up quite a fight in this match. That's been a very entertaining one. You know what else is very entertaining? Sometimes to just go to your window and look out. And if you go to your window and you look out and you say, this window's a piece of garbage. That happens. And they get old, the seals break, you get the little bubbles inside, they're dirty, they're worn. Yuck. Not only that,
what's
every time
all this stuff on the windows? Dirt?
Yeah, just yell
just
it out.
Yell it right out. Just call them out when you know it. Yeah, that guy could have used Universal Windows Direct, there's no question, because not only do they look bad, but you're paying all that money for literally energy to go out the window. And they have super spacer technology. It is better than traditional metal spacers, which conduct both heat and cold. They last 5 times longer. Boy, what a great point that was. I'm sorry, I was distracted. Blinkova serving to get back to 6-6. Osaka just ran down 3 shots all over Queens and then hit a cross-court winner off her backhand. That was rather astonishing. What a great point that was. Very entertaining match here. 6-6 as they are in. They called it out. Oh, no, that's going to be in. She's a player challenge, I think, coming here. Let's see. They're fighting about something here. Here's the review, and the ball is out. It's 6-6. They're going to a tiebreak in the second set. Oh, I thought that was a brilliant shot. I thought she pulled off the winner, but she did not. So they'll go to a tiebreak in the second set at the U.S. Open. Early round play, but they've been some entertaining matches in the early going. Not the one yesterday you thought might have been. Sharapova and Serena. Good Lord, she can't give Serena any kind of a match at all. 6-1, 6-1, just absolutely steamrolled her. She has no success against Serena at all. But nonetheless, some of these other matches have been very entertaining, very good. I was telling you about Universal Windows Direct, where you don't want to let all of that energy go out the window. And you can do that with the wonderfully efficient windows that they make available. And what a deal they have right now. Buy one, get one free, no limit, free installation. And you can get the windows now and not make any payments till next year. There are some restrictions apply, but they're beautiful windows, and they're incredibly well made, and they are guaranteed for as long as you own your home and for 30 years to the next homeowner. That, my friend, is a guarantee of a company that stands behind their products. So why put up with those old, disgusting, inefficient windows? Give your home that new glow with new windows from Universal Windows Direct. Call them for a free estimate and find out how you can, like me, be saying, I love my windows. Take a break. Back with more. It's ESPN 680 and 105.7.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.